All right, a Friday night on the Nightside Project. Thanks so much for joining us. We want to hit this traffic-related text here. An accident northbound I-15, a half mile before the American Fork Main Street. The right two lanes are closed. It's taking you apparently about 15 minutes to get through that area. The left lanes are moving a little bit better. So if you're rolling up through there, expect some slowdowns. In the meantime, though, we've been chatting about what the U.S. Attorney for Utah is calling a heroin tsunami. That's a term he used, heroin tsunami. Now, this is a Utah problem. They are not seeing these same numbers. They're not seeing these same rates in other states in the region. This is something that they have seen a bump just here in Utah. And they said that it's actually led to a dramatic increase in violent robberies along the Wasatch Front as these addicts are trying to get money for their drugs. Now, we want to welcome a special guest to the Nightside Project. Dr. Terry Sellers was a medical doctor, an OB, an honored, celebrated doctor, fell into addiction, has since become sober, now blends his medical training and experience with his experience as an addict to help people. That's what he does now. And Terry, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Were you surprised to hear the U.S. attorney use the term heroin tsunami in Utah?
No. I you know, we see this. You had talked about earlier how we've done a number of these shows. And
yeah,
I mean, we knew it was coming. It is a little interesting that it's a Utah phenomenon and not, you know, they stated in the article they're not seeing it in Colorado,
right?
Or
not that
Wyoming
they don't have heroin, but not at these same rates.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting that we have it in this state more than others, but I mean this thing's growing rapidly in every state.
So what's the profile of like the average person, Dr. Sellers, that you see in treatment? Somebody comes in and they're seeking treatment, and you've got to go through all these steps to get them off of the drug, to get them, you know, you got to get them through that tough part of the withdrawals and things like that, or whatever it might be. What's the average profile of a person who walks in and wants help?
So that's the scary thing, is I don't know that you can totally profile. Like, this isn't just one person. It's everybody. It's people in your neighborhood, and it's your doctors, and it's your friends, and it's your kids, and it's your, it's not just the guy that's living under the bridge. But let me tell you what we see a lot. We see a lot of people who start in high school at parties, and they start with prescription drugs, probably that someone stole from a parent or from a grandparent or a relative or something.
Or they might have just found even in the medicine cabinet at the party that they're at.
Yeah,
you know, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, something like that. And they get started that way. The problem is those are harder to obtain because you have to have a prescription for them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're expensive. If you're buying, if you get started that way and get hooked on them and you're buying stuff on the street, that stuff becomes expensive. And I know Ethan mentioned this earlier, how this sort of progresses, and it progresses exactly that way. They get stuck on these things that are expensive. Heroin is, you know, an OxyContin 80 on the street, which you can't get anymore, but used to be $60 to $80.
A pill.
That you can get the crazy same bang for your buck out of heroin for $8.
Yeah, so obviously.
And
yeah.
So everyone winds up, if they get hooked on this stuff, they wind up gravitating towards heroin. And once they've gotten to heroin, then they're hooked, and then they're starting to pawn stuff. Then they're starting to sell their stuff because
they're
hooked.
We have a lot of folks texting in saying, I had a nephew or an uncle or a cousin who used to steal stuff from the family.
Mm-hmm. And to go pawn it.
Right, yeah. And to think that everything that they saw, they wondered if it had a value to where they could take it and sell it to somebody. I mean, to get to that point, right? And here's another thing that I wondered, too. Have you seen the drug preferences shift over the years? I mean, I remember you being in here 7 or 8 years ago when we were talking about ecstasy, you know, and obviously drugs don't fully go away. People will have taste for certain things, I guess. But have you seen preferences shift in people?
Well, I think so, for sure. I think that the opiate problem is by standards, a relatively new problem.
Yeah.
Years ago, it was mostly alcohol, some cocaine. And it's just gravitated to the point where it's predominantly an opiate problem now. I see and treat plenty of alcoholics, but I see way more, and I keep saying opiates are painkillers, and anything that is a painkiller. I see way more opiate addicts, and most of those wind up becoming heroin addicts than I do any other drug.
We're chatting, if you just tuned in, we're chatting with Dr. Terry Sellers, who's a a longtime expert guest here on the Nightside Project. We're on the subject once again of addiction, specifically heroin addiction. The U.S. Attorney for Utah is calling it a heroin tsunami just in the state of Utah. It's not a regional thing. It's a state thing, he says. And Dr. Sellers was a medical doctor, fell into addiction, worked his way sober, and now helps people in the recovery process. And Dr. Sellers, what would you say, or what should be said to people who are struggling with this? Because right now, listening is someone who is on this path, who's struggling with addiction. And maybe it's recent. Maybe it's a recent surgery, got them onto some pills, and they're having trouble with it. Maybe they've already switched over, and they're switching over into more and more dangerous territory. What would you say to them if they're listening right now? What's the best way to approach this with them? What do they need to hear?
Well, they need to hear that people love them. They need to hear that people want to help them get better. They need to hear that there is a way to get better. It's doable. It's possible. They don't have to continue living like this. You know, you talked about how was it the Salt Lake County Sheriff who described his relative? And you know, you describe, Alex, right. You were describing a family member. And these people feel no hope. The people addicted on drugs stop hoping and stop realizing that there are good things left in life. And one of the things drugs does to the human brain is it doesn't allow people to experience pleasure from activities that used to be pleasurable. So you'll see in your family member, some of the signs you'll see is people stop doing the things that they used to love doing because heroin is way more powerful than that, gives you more pleasure. So I think that we want to instill in drug addicts, in our loved ones and families, hope, and tell them there's something out there that can help you.
Yeah. Another thing we're talking about, too, was just one of the things that the sheriff pointed out was part of the problem is his family members not recognizing some of the quote-unquote symptoms. What are some of those little things that someone should look for in a loved one who might be addicted? What are some of the little behavioral things where you can go, you know what, that's a flag, that's a red flag, right there?
Yeah, so the way the things work is they rob you of the ability to enjoy things that you used to enjoy. So when you start seeing family members who, look, I'll give you a personal example. For me, golf. I love playing golf. I stopped playing golf when I was using drugs because it's just not as pleasurable. Golf is not as pleasurable as drugs.
Yeah.
And so when you see them stop paying attention to activities that they used to love, that's a big red flag.
Really?
Isolation is a big red flag. When they want to be left alone, when they want to, you know, not interact with the family as much as normal. Things start slipping in kids. School grades start slipping, and they stop paying attention to friends, and their friends change. Those are warning signs.
Okay.
Well, listen, can we do this? Because I've got a couple of follow-up questions. You know, what happens if you start to notice this or you suspect something? Can you hang out with us for a couple more minutes?
Absolutely.
Through the news break? Yeah. All right, because we've got news, traffic, and weather coming up right now. And then when we come back, let's get a few follow-up questions for Dr. Terry Sellers here. And if you've got one that you want to drop in via text, feel free to at 575-00.